The movie sequel Scooby-Doo 2 is number one. The movie brought in more than $30 million over its opening weekend. Perhaps that's not surprising, since Scooby-Doo is the most enduringly popular cartoon in TV history. Why is a show about some amateur kid detectives and their talking dog still on top? Here's Slate's Chris Sullentrop.
Here's the easiest way to comprehend the longevity of Scooby-Doo. Casey Kasem hosted his weekly Top 40 radio show for 34 years. He's been doing the voice of Shaggy for even longer.
Elma, who do I know with long, skinny hands?
Good evening!
Zoinks!
Kasem started voicing Shaggy in 1969, the year before American Top 40 debuted, and he still got the part in new Scooby cartoons for both TV and direct-to-video movies. The show, in various permutations, was produced for 17 years. That makes it the longest-running network cartoon ever. The first live-action movie version 2 years ago made more than $150 million. And now there's the first of what may be many sequels.
We've got to do something totally unlike us. You know, Scoob? We could act like real detectives.
Really?
Acknowledging Scooby's durability is easier than explaining it. Scooby-Doo wormed its way into the culture through years of drip-drip accretion. It's the Cal Ripken of cartoons. Not the best, though certainly not the worst. It just shows up day after day after day, and you end up loving it. For years, not even the show's creators at Hanna-Barbera realized the appeal of Scooby-Doo. Instead, the Flintstones was thought to be the studio's flagship property. But Bedrock might as well be the Stone Age for today's young audiences, while the gang at Scooby-Doo maintains its hypnotic appeal. Kids snap up the franchise's direct-to-video titles and video games. In 2000, Scooby-Doo won a mock presidential election held by the Cartoon Network. One key to understanding Scooby is to realize it has never been an adult phenomenon. The show has always appealed first to little kids.
There's something mighty fishy about Ebenezer Shark. I'll say there is.
Yeah, he looks more like a barracuda.
There are a few obvious but inadequate explanations for Scooby's long-standing appeal. It has mystery, like the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew. It has talking dogs. And in Daphne, it has a character as sexualized as you can get away with in a kiddie cartoon. But those don't add up to an icon. For some big think on the subject, we turn to Jim Millen, the writer-director of, I'm not making this up, a touring theatrical production of Scooby-Doo. He told the Baltimore Sun that Scooby's enthusiasm for life represents a youthful, optimistic America, where you can solve a problem with good intentions. To the Toronto Star, Millen compared Scooby-Doo to 19th-century European Commedia dell'arte, with its stock characters and costumes. TV snobs surely see Scooby's ineffable charms as yet more proof of American decline, as if our children should all be watching The Sopranos. Maybe Scooby's appeal makes sense when you compare it to the rest of kids' TV, much of which tries to stuff a moral message down the audience's throat. But the moral code of Scooby-Doo permeates the entire enterprise without you ever noticing it. The Washington Post's Hank Stuever summed up the Scooby worldview perfectly when the first live-action movie came out. Kids should meddle. Dogs are sweet. Life is groovy. And if something scares you, you should confront it. What needs to be explained about that?
Well, I'll be. You kids have certainly wound up all the loose ends in this case. Blasted meddling kids.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We got some work to do now.
The opinions of Chris Sullentrop. He writes the assessment column for Slate. Day-to-Day is a production of NPR News and Slate.com. I'm Alex Chadwick.